much are they thinking about other teams, the playoffs, who they may match up with, or is right now just the focus on the Braves being the best version of the Braves they can?
Yeah, right now it's just trying to get back on track and finish out the regular season on a high note. You know, look, there was a chance for a while they could have competed with the Dodgers for the number one seed, but that's looking like it's going to take an absolute miracle for that to actually end up happening. So, you know, right now it's just a matter about playing good baseball, getting everything clicking again, and rolling to October with a head of steam.
I don't know what it is, because I don't get a chance to catch all the Braves games, but it just seems like when they're in that situation, trailing by two runs or less, it seems like every bottom of the ninth for the Braves batting in the ninth at home, or even in that case on the road, it seems like the Braves will still give themselves a chance to win a game like last night, trailing by two, leadoff home run in the bottom of the ninth, and they had the winning runs on base. Didn't get it done, but just the fact that they leave that feeling in the fans' hearts and mind that, hey, this team has that kind of attitude where they're not giving up until the final out.
No, and they take a lot of pride in that. And that's been sort of a characteristic of this team really since Brian Snitker took over. And obviously it's a lot more evident when the team is competitive and winning ball games like they are the last couple of years. But even back in 2016 and 2017, when they weren't in contention for anything, they still played hard. You know, they took a lot of pride in being a team that plays till the 27th out and you know, see what happens. So I think that that's something that starts at the top. You know, these guys want to play hard for Schmidt. They want to go out there and try to win as many games as they can for him. So that really, you know, it starts with him setting the tone for this team, and they've really fed off that the last few years. So I'm not surprised, you know, even if they are down three or four or five runs late in the ballgame, I'm never surprised to see them, you know, do what they did last night and come one swing away.
Are they thinking about, you know, just a matter of pride, if you're trying to add an extra incentive besides the fact they can wrap this up over the next 2 days against the Phillies? You know, right now in the season series, the Phillies own a 9-8 edge with two games remaining. So a win tonight by the Braves, a win tomorrow, they wrap up the National League East, and they also wrap up a winning record against the Phillies as well.
Yeah, that's the only team they don't have a winning record against to this point. Obviously, they beat up on the Marlins this season, a winning record against the Mets and the Nationals. That's the Phillies are the only team they don't have a winning record against. But, you know, since that three-game sweep to start the season, it's been a much more, you know, different narrative between these two teams. So, you know, look, they want to compete, and they want to beat teams in the division. That was a point of emphasis in spring training. They said, look, the team that represents the NL East is going to be the one that beats up on the division the most. And to this point, they've done a really good job of that. So, yeah, they'd like to finish this thing out and have an above 500 record against everybody. They still have three games to go against New York on the final road trip. But, yeah, it's certainly an area they'd like to finish out and do that once again. That's something they did a nice job of last year, and they're looking to repeat that success here again this year.
Julio Teheran on the mound tonight for the Braves. He's been so instrumental, especially in the second half, a part of that rotation. Has he earned himself a right to start in the postseason?
I think he has. I really do. I mean, a couple of weeks ago, I probably would have told you he's on the bubble. But, you know, what we've seen from Julio, I think you ride the hot hand as you go into October. You know, it's going to be Keuchel, Soroka, and then, you know, probably at this point, Fulton Evich and Tehran as your three and four starters. You know, a couple of weeks ago, I would have told you Max Fried has that spot locked up, but he just hasn't been the same guy here. You know, three of his last four starts, he's given up five earned. You know, his stuff hasn't been as sharp. And he's been really good out of the bullpen. We saw it last year. In the division series. So it wouldn't surprise me at all if Julio and Fulte are the games three and four starters in some combination of that order. That would not be a shock to me at all.
You know, we talk about, you know, some of these chances, like for as a team, the Braves over these next 2 days to have the a winnings record over the season against the Phillies. What about from an individual standpoint? It seems like the team wants Acuna, as far as his teammates, to get that magic number of 40 stolen bases and also hit one more home run to get the and join the 40-40 club. Are those kind of things in the back of the minds, too? Just because sometimes, you know, if you're in the situation knowing that you may have the East almost wrapped up, you're also looking for those extra things to make these games meaningful. And sometimes, you know, the individual stats, not a bad thing, too, to motivate players, especially if the team wants you to achieve these things.
Yeah, no, I think it'd be great for him to get that mark. I mean, look, it's only happened four times in Major League history where a player has gone for 40-40. There's been guys that have come really close. But to see that happen for a 21-year-old is just remarkable, the season he's putting together. And, you know, there was a lot of talk this offseason, sophomore slump, what's going to happen? He's you know, is it going to, you know, weigh on him coming off a season where he was the rookie of the year? Well, I think he put that narrative to bed very quickly. So, you know, for me, I think it would mean a lot, not only to Ronald, but to the organization as well, for that to happen, for him to be the youngest player ever to go 40-40. A-Rod's the youngest, and he was 22. So for Acuña to surpass that, I think would say a lot. And as Freddie Freeman said yesterday, this is probably not going to be the last time in his career that he challenges for 40-40. I mean, he's a special player. We've seen it the last 2 years, and it's scary to think he could – there's, you know, potential for Ronald Acuña Jr. to keep getting better as we go forward.
How can somebody miss a month of a season and then come back and not miss a beat? And that's what Nick Markakis has done as far as at the plate. It's almost like he never missed any action.
Yeah, those guys just roll out of bed and hit. It's really remarkable. I mean, we saw it with Chipper. You see it with Freddie Freeman. You know, when he came back from his wrist injury a couple of years ago, he just picks up right where he left off. And then Nick, you know, to do what he's doing, but also to make the position change and go to left field. I think it says a lot about Nick, the teammate, as well. He saw how successful Matt Joyce has been, and he said, look, let's keep that bat in the order. I'll go play left field. I'm more comfortable there than he is. So I think it was. It says a lot about Nick, the competitor, but Nick, the teammate, as well. And look, he had 2 days' worth of simulated action when we were in Philly last week, and here he is, and he's been really productive. So you know, just great to have his bat back in the order, you know, put him back in the fifth spot. They really missed it, and it moves everybody down in the order, lengthens your lineup out a little bit more. So he was missed, and he's made an immediate impact on this offense, that's for sure.
Over the weekend, just the impact, and because Charlie Culberson, not only the fact that he's so versatile and he can play so many different positions, and he can come off the bench as far as from a pinch-hitting standpoint, and if you need a home run, he can give you that as well. He's just a great team player in that locker room, in that clubhouse. And just what a bad way to wrap up your 2019 campaign last weekend.
Yeah, that was brutal. That was one of the – I forget. I mean, the night Jason Hayward broke his jaw, then you remember the night Tim Hudson fractured his ankle in New York against the Mets. But that was, you know, for a team that scored 10 runs and blew out the team that was behind him in the division, probably the most somber clubhouse I've been a part of in a long time. Brian Snicker fighting back tears a couple of times. You know, we talked to a number of guys in that locker room, and nobody wanted to talk about the game. They were all just talking about Charlie, the person, Charlie, the teammate, what he has meant to this team. You know, there's a reason they call him Charlie Clutch. He's been such a big part of this ball club the last couple of seasons, and it's a big blow, as is Johan Camargo. I mean, losing his versatility as well is a big-time loss, but you have to move forward. You have to go on, and look, no one's going to feel sorry for you. This is the point of the season where, you know, guys need to pick it up. They need to step up. And you lost two big bats off your bench, so now it's opportunities for guys like Duvall or Riley or Echevarria or Ortega, guys like that to step up and help carry the load while those guys are out. Had Charlie on our show today on the Braves Clubhouse Report here in Atlanta, and it was great just to hear from Charlie. I mean, he's really moved by how much the fans have reached out. He's gotten tons of messages on Instagram and Facebook and the fans that are bringing signs to the ballpark and talking about winning for Charlie. Believe me, for all those fans out there who have sent those messages, he's read them, he's seen them, and it means a lot to him. So he'll be around the team, he'll be in the clubhouse, he'll be here for the stretch run and into October. Obviously, it's tough for him not to be able to play, but he'll definitely you know, bring that presence to the clubhouse, and these guys are going to use that as a rallying point for sure.
You and I were not surprised when the Braves won the National League East last year. We felt like coming out of spring training, they had all the potential there, and they had the potential to arrive a year early, and they did that last year. But when you look at the talent that this team has this year compared to last year, as far as the capabilities of making a run in postseason, compare the 2 years.
Well, they're just a much better ball club this season. Starting pitching is deeper. Their bullpen is a lot better, and their bench is significantly deeper than it was this time last year. I mean, when you look at that series against the Dodgers, I'm not going to say that the Braves felt overmatched or felt like they didn't have a chance, but you knew it was going to be a long shot for them to advance against Los Angeles. But I think when you look at the additions they made, the moves they made throughout the season, how they've gotten better in all areas, I think that this team has a lot of confidence that they can make a deep run and challenge the Dodgers, you know, for that National League pennant. You know, look, still not sure who they're going to face in the division series. It wouldn't surprise me at all. I know St. Louis has the lead. Look at that Brewers schedule. The Brewers have the easiest schedule the rest of the way, and the Cardinals and Cubs still play each other seven more times. So it's not a guarantee the Braves are going to see the Cardinals in the division series. Obviously, they still have a couple of game cushion, but this is just a much better, much deeper team, and they got one more year of experience under their belt. And that's, you can't underestimate how much that means as well for this team. They've been to the postseason. They know what to expect, so some of those jitters are behind them, and I don't think they'll be intimidated at all by whoever they have to face once we get a couple of weeks from now into October.
Before we let you go, when we talk about wrapping up this homestand and the home portion of their regular season over the next 2 days, then you got, of course, get San Francisco this weekend. But after that, the remaining five games are all on the road. What are you looking forward to most during this stretch? For me, as far as how it can help the team in postseason, it's to keep those winning ways on the road. The fact that there's 16 games above 500 on the road so far this year with those contests remaining, I think that they need to continue that kind of momentum, which just gives them all that full confidence once they start postseason, whether they're at home or on the road, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, I think just continuing to play good baseball no matter where you're at. I mean, that's the one thing. I know some fans are wondering, well, will they rest some guys? Will they take their foot off the gas? If anything, I think you try to keep winning as many games as you can. These guys are creatures of habit. They like to play every single day. They don't like taking days off. And I think, you don't want to ease up as you get into October. You want to continue to be playing good baseball and keep that momentum on your side as you go into those tougher environments. So, for me, I just like to see them play good baseball, get good starting pitching, get deep into ball games, have that bullpen, which has been really reliable here lately. Have those guys continue to pitch in those roles they're comfortable in. And again, just keep your foot on the gas and not let up at all as you go forward, because that's the last thing. It's really hard to pick it back up once you let down a little bit. So just keep moving forward and keep playing good baseball.